Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast, and I am super excited today. We have our first swimming guest of the season. She's an unbelievable individual. We've got Miss Addie Beasley here with us, a swimmer from Ball State University. You guys are going to love her. So, Addie, how's it going today?
I'm doing so well. I didn't have a lot of class today, and I only have one practice today, so it's pretty light day for me.
So if you guys call that just one practice, so that is our first glimpse into the life of a college swimmer, that your off day is just one practice. So tell me a little bit about just what this one practice only entails today.
Today we're doing 200 pace. So that's like pretty stroke specific. So I'm a breaststroker, so I'm going to do a lot of breaststroke today. And we have a meet this weekend. We actually have two meets this weekend. We have a Friday, Saturday.
Nice.
So I think it's going to be pretty similar to most other weeks, to like yesterday and today. And then like getting more towards the meet, we'll do something a little different. But yeah, lots of breaststroke today.
Nice. So stroke specific. So I know we've chatted a little bit about just like the insane amount of just swimming by distance you guys are putting in. So how much, what kind of distance are we getting today on your borderline off day?
We should do about 5,000 yards ish. I
5,000 yards.
Probably.
So for all our folks at home that can't do the math, we're talking like 3+ miles.
Yeah.
In a pool. That's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. I'd say especially on two pace, we might do a little bit more, but yeah, it kind of depends on the day. Like on Thursdays we do off the block, so that's pretty much just like a lot of quicker racing style. So we won't do near as much as we do today. But it's just a different type of intensity, so yeah.
Nice. So on your light day, you're just belting out 3 miles, which, you know, for most of
yeah.
us, I remember joking with some people that, you know, about like 5 years ago, like, we should do a triathlon. And they're like, what if we drowned? Like, that's the scary part. Like, that's right. Like, you can't just put your feet down and rest in these pools. Right. So what does a heavy day look like? If 3 miles is your light day, that is crazy.
Yeah.
What's a full day look like?
Yeah, so a full day, I would say Mondays are probably our most, maybe, I would say our most yardage intensive day is Monday, because our morning is kind of like a pink flush. And when I say pink, it's just kind of like a heart rate zone that we have to hit. So it's a lighter zone. So that's like, I would say we do about 3,500 yards in the morning, and then we'll about 5K, I'd say. Maybe a little less in the afternoon, and that's threshold. So that's just another heart rate zone we have to hit. Like, there's pink, red, blue, and purple. It's kind of our range. So we kind of think of like pink is when your face is pink, and then red is when your face is red, and it just goes down the line.
And then so there's one where your face is blue and purple. That doesn't
purple,
sound like,
yeah.
That sounds like a zone we should avoid. Yikes,
yeah.
Purple face. So I mean, you guys are putting in like a crazy amount of work, and then what I love about our show is I get to talk to incredible athletes, coaches, athletic directors in all these different sports, and you know, everyone has kind of the sport or two that they know. Swimming, everyone's familiar with, but you know, basketball, even if you don't play basketball in high school, you've seen a basketball game on TV, you've been to a game, like baseball, football, everyone kind of has their opinions as to what you should do. For a lot of our listeners, if they are not swimmers, they may not be quite as familiar with, you know, the sport or some of the lingo or some of the training. So obviously you're spending a ton of time in the pool. Mm-hmm. What are some things you're doing outside of the pool to train to be at this, you know, Division I elite level?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd say one of the biggest things that we do, like strength training, plays a huge part in like our performance. And personally, like here at Ball State, we have a training group for distance and a training group for sprinters. And their lifts look entirely different. Like the sprinter lifts do more Olympic lifts, like they do squats, they do bench. They do a lot more explosiveness versus distance don't really need that. And they also don't need like things like they don't need to do squats. Like they're not really more focused on their legs as much as their arms. So there's a lot more like shoulder intensive workouts with that.
Interesting.
So that's pretty specialized. And I would say other than that, nutrition is kind of interesting being integrated into like my training program, because in high school it was just like I'll eat whatever my mom puts in front of me, and now it's like we have a nutritionist and we have these like macros we have to hit
Yeah, so
just to be fueling ourselves.
I find that really fascinating. So I'm glad you went there. Where even in our household with my daughters, we've been talking a lot more about eating like an athlete. Where I think most high school athletes and kids are just eating, right? I remember even way back in the AAU tournaments, we'd have like six game basketball games in a day, and we went to like McDonald's in between games. And I'm like, that is insane, right? It's like putting like homemade fuel into a race car. Like, what in the world are we doing? And so I remember very famously when Michael Phelps was winning all his gold medals, like his diet became like this national trend where I'm sure I'm going to get the number wrong, but I want to say he was eating like 8,000 calories or something just grotesque, right? He's having like an entire pizza and a dozen eggs, and then he's swimming and then he's eating 2 hours later. So what kind of diet do they have you on? And maybe more importantly, what are some things that high school and middle school swimmers can do to kind of replicate this at home so they are putting in the right fuel to train?
The big thing I kind of had to adjust to was like the timing of eating. So like especially after a practice, like our nutritionist says, like if you have morning practice after an evening practice, you need to be eating within 2 hours of when your last practice ended before morning, so that your body has time to like replenish itself and recover enough to the point where you're ready to go the next day. So like you can't just like go home from practice and then you eat like 3 hours later. Like you have to be more, I think, just intentional about what you're putting into your body and at what time. So like right after practice, we have like a fueling station and they have like trail mix and fruit and chocolate milk and just things like that. So like we always have some sort of sugar that's replenishing like what we've lost. And especially for aerobic athletes, it's really important to get that back in because you're not sustaining your glucose levels very long compared to like sprinters. They have a kind of different makeup when it comes to that. But I would say for younger athletes, like obviously they kind of know they want to be putting good stuff in their body. Like don't be eating crap all the time. Like your
Right,
body
which is
feels
usually what they do,
that.
right? Like I've seen my kids in between games, and they have like a pack of Goldfish crackers, and I'm like, dude, that's not really what we need to eat before a game, right?
And honestly, like as a middle schooler, like your body is gonna adjust differently compared to a high schooler. Like you're more like you can bounce back a lot quicker. But I really think like starting healthy habits early is just gonna set you up for success. So really focusing on like whole foods that really like fuel yourself versus just eating snacks for 4 hours after practice, which we've
Right.
all been there, but
Sure.
like you need a more of a plan, I would say.
Yeah, I love it. I think that's an area that I'd love for us to start getting into a little bit more with some of our content and things where, we put so much into the skills and drills part of sports. That's what we tend to focus on. We tend to overlook how are we taking care of our body and how are we feeding our mind to really excel. And those two areas matter so much, but they're often overlooked. So obviously you've had tremendous success. I mean, you're swimming at a D1 program and you're a freshman, right? So for everyone at home, so Addie is this is her first season here at Ball State. Just came from a fantastic high school swimming program at Wauwatosa High School in Syracuse, Indiana. So tell me a little bit about your high school career and how you got to Ball State, because obviously anyone getting to the D1 level has made just an incredible accomplishment in their sport.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so coming into high school, I mean, I've been swimming competitively since I was five, so I've had this kind of big foundational building block to start off.
Sure.
But coming into high school, obviously it's just kind of different than a middle school swim program. Like middle school is much more relaxed, and high school is like you're training hard, you're getting like you it's I think it's different from a lot of other high school sports because it's really time committing. Like you really have to be focused if you want to do well.
Well, you guys are getting there early in the morning too, right? I mean, I've got a nephew that swims. I remember some like 5 a.m. swim practices. Like you guys are even during school, you're getting there before school sometimes, correct?
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. During season, like we'd have 2 mornings a week that started like 5:45, and then we'd have like a 2.5 hour practice in the afternoon. So it's a lot of time, you know? And so my freshman year was kind of like the flip for me. Like in middle school, like I was competitive. I mean, especially compared to people who didn't swim like club makes a huge difference, but like
Oh, yeah.
compared to other club swimmers, I was just like another, you know, another number on the screen. So like my freshman year, I think is kind of where I really started to put in the work and be like, I'm just going to work as hard as I can and see what happens. So
Love it.
I won conference my freshman year, and that was kind of like, oh, like this could actually, like I could actually like be good at this, like for real.
Yeah, and you're swimming in a really good
So,
conference. I mean, and the Northern Lakes
yeah.
Conference, like for those of you who aren't local, like Northern Indiana, that's one of the stronger conferences for swimming and some really good programs in there. So, I mean, to do that at what, 14 years old, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was very shocking for me. I was not expecting that at all. So I would say from my freshman year, it's just been like a constant like ladder. Just putting in a lot of work and reaping the benefits of that has been like super fruitful. And I think like the coaching staff that we have at OLSC is just insane and so supportive, and they actually know what they're talking about. I know that's kind of hard, especially like you were saying earlier, like swimming's not as much known as basketball or football or
Sure.
whatever it is, but like having a coach that really knows what he's talking about and can push us and encourage us in a way that's helpful, that was such a blessing. So I owe all to them and like my teammates. But yeah, I would say I really leaned into the team aspect of swim. It gets really, really personal sport really quick. So especially like pressure wise, I would say like mentally putting off the pressure off of myself onto like I'm gonna do this for my team and lift up my community. That really helped me get out of my mind and just go do fast swimming,
Yeah. So I
which,
find
yeah.
that fascinating too, because I think that's probably another thing that people who aren't as acquainted with the sport may not understand, that there is a team element to swimming. We had a conversation with the associate athletic director at Grace, and she was talking about her daughter swimming and being a good teammate. And I was like, so what, how does that team component come into play? Because, you know, at the end of the day, especially in an individual event, it is jump in the pool, touch the wall first, and it is what it is, right? I mean,
Yeah.
like you said, you're a number on the screen. So how can you be a good teammate as a swimmer in a sport that is largely individualized outside of like relays?
Yeah. So, I mean, in a dual meet, let's say like you have points from first to sixth place, I think, first to fifth. So, like, even if you're not winning or you're not like beating other people, like, there's still an opportunity for you to add to your team. So, I think like I was we would have like a team meeting before meets. It's always like you got to beat the person next to you. You got to do your best for us, not just for yourself. Like, yeah, you want that PR, yeah, you want to do well, but
Sure.
like we're also doing this together, and we can't succeed if we don't have you pulling your weight, especially in like closer dual meets. And we were a pretty small team all of my high school. Like, we're a small
You're
school.
swimming a lot of events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like we're all putting in as much as we can to just get points
Yeah.
on the board and like fill those spots. But I think also it's such, you need a team that you love to help you do well. Like if I didn't like the team, I think it would be a lot harder for me to be here or just like
Sure.
have the success that I did, just because you need encouragement and you need that family. And swim, like I said before, you spend so much time together. You're gonna bond, like we call it, we trauma bond together. This is, I mean, we're going through it, you know, like
Oh,
it's
yeah.
really tough. So but I think having that community and that kind of family aspect really, really helps.
Yes, yeah, so as you're coming up, like you mentioned, it's a hard sport, right? You're putting in a ton of hours. It's physically grueling and demanding. There's mornings where you're in northern Indiana, it's 2 degrees outside, and the pool probably doesn't feel too much warmer some of those mornings, right? There's days where, you don't even want to get in the pool. So obviously you're a fantastic student. You had lots of options. There's millions of pathways that could have got you to college, an amazing life. So when did you know that this was the path you wanted to pursue? Because it is a lot to do on top of your education. Like, when did it really click that, like, hey, I want to swim beyond high school, and I think I can do this in college?
Yeah, honestly, I didn't really think about that until I started, like when recruitment opens your junior year, like the summer before you start your junior year, I was like, oh shoot, like this could be kind of an opportunity and like a different path. Like it
Sure.
wasn't something that I didn't think about, but I think actually having an opportunity for that to happen was new and it was exciting. So like you start talking to colleges and start talking to colleges at the beginning of my junior year. And you know, like then it's recruitment is so hard because it's different for every person. So even
Sure.
if you get like a list of tips, like it's really like you just got to figure it out, you know? Like you're talking to coaches and you kind of learn how you want to, like, what questions you want to ask and like what do you want to hear from them? Like what are you actually looking for? So yeah, I think the more I talk to coaches and the more I honestly just pray, I was like, I don't know what I want with this like avenue. And I feel like God really pushed me more towards college sports. And I, at the time, I didn't really know why. And even when I committed, I was like, this is so new. I have no idea. Like, I'm really excited, but I'm also really nervous
Yeah,
about
it's definitely, it's
college.
overwhelming. It's a big step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's such a different, like, your life is just in college is so much different being in a sport versus not. So that was like, I'm choosing a complete, like, a different life pattern than I would have without it. So,
Yeah.
but
Well, you have
honestly,
a
since,
full-time job, a very demanding
yes.
full-time job. Like, you are not just a kid going to class and doing whatever they want on the weekends and in the evenings.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I say since being here, the community that I've like had from the team, and honestly just like from other athletes, like the MNFCA. So like
Yeah.
building friendships there, I think he really that was a big reason why he wanted me to play sports, because like you're an immediate friend group. Like you have an immediate community of people who are there for you. And
Yeah.
in college, I think that's huge because it's overwhelming.
Oh, sure. It's a
But
big
yeah.
school, too. You came from a small high school. I think it's fantastic that you're participating in FCA, too. Like, a lot of folks we have interviewed have been at very strictly Christian colleges. Ball State's a public university. So I think it's wonderful. It's a great lesson for everyone out there that you can let your light shine anywhere in the world, and you are a tremendous example to the students there at Ball State. So I'm sure they're thrilled to have you. So you talk about being a really good teammate in swim. So obviously you had a ton of success. You're winning sectional titles as a freshman. You swam with one of the more decorated swimmers in the country, right? So your teammate, that was a Julie Mischler, is probably, I don't want to put a jinx on her. Like, I mean, she's right in that mix to be swimming in the 2028 Olympics, was shattering high school records. So I know you two are friends and get along wonderfully. I just take a step back and think, as a normal 16, 15, 16-year-old athlete doing these incredible things, what's it like swimming? Not that you didn't get tons of attention, but swimming slightly in the shadow of this all-time legendary high school swimmer. What's that like?
Yeah, honestly, like me and Julie grew up together. I mean, I grew up, she's honestly just an amazing athlete all around. Like, we were doing, I mean, we played basketball together, we played volleyball together, we obviously swam together. And I, for most of my, like, growing up with her, she's like, I'm just in awe. Like, how is she so good? Like, it was just, she's on a different level. And I think growing up with that, I just kind of became like, yeah, she's just Julie. Like, she's just awesome. She's in her field of her own. And I mean, I loved supporting her and getting to work alongside her and see her grow. Because when she was, I mean, when we were younger, it was like it kind of all came naturally to her. And as she grew up, it was like she really dug into like that hard work aspect. And to see her grow encourages me and encourages our teammates, I think, as well, just to see her just, I mean, just grind. It's like she's really just, she grinds. And I respect that. So I've learned a
Yeah.
lot from Julie. But yeah, it's so fun. I love seeing her succeed, and I couldn't be more proud of her. She's doing amazing.
Yeah, was it the 50 free? She set like a national high school record last year, wasn't it? What I think, was that the event, 50 free?
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah, it's just absolutely incredible. So no, I think it's a cool lesson, because obviously we talk a lot about metaphorically run your race, run your race, right? It's biblical principle. In your case, swim your race. And it's just a great reminder that success is exponential, not finite. And I think so often in team sports, we get so hung up on stats and who's in, gets the captain and who gets to win this
Yeah.
award, that you look at successful people, they're almost always surrounded by lots of other successful people, right? Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool that you guys had that experience. I imagine you had a huge impact on her career as well.
Oh.
And as someone who coaches basketball at your alma mater, it would have been awesome to have both of you. Anyway, I bet you two would have tore it up. But I guess you guys are doing okay in the pool, though. So everything's working all right. All right. So speaking of basketball and the pool, this one's gonna probably throw you for a loop. So your uncle coaches with me, like our little fifth grade girls play basketball together. I know he coaches like at the high school varsity level too, but yeah, he's like a little partner in crime for our fifth grade girls. And so Uncle Scotty wanted me to let you know that he remembers racing you in a pool and beating you for many, many, many years. He figures you might object. At what point did we find? I wish you could see
Okay.
the video. At what point did we leave? He's gonna hear this too. At what point did we leave Uncle Scotty in the dust?
I don't think there was ever a moment where he wasn't in the dust, respectfully.
All
He would always talk about, like, oh, we should race. Oh, we should race. I honestly don't remember a time when we actually raced. I think he's scared. I think my uncle is scared.
So he has never beaten you in the pool? It's all a lie.
Know. I mean, I can't say never, but I think he's bluffing just a tad.
Probably. He's pretty
Yeah.
competitive. So I'll give you
Yeah.
a funny
We both
story.
are.
Yes, I'll give you a funny story about him. So we're playing, like so we coach a little fifth grade basketball, and like your little niece is a good little hooper. My little daughter can go. She's had a little stretch where she was scoring like probably most of our points. So I look at one there's one game, and my daughter comes down, and she's usually really unselfish. Like, we had two chances for a game-winning shot this week. Play was for her. She got a double team, gave it to the other kid. Really unselfish kid in general. There's a game, and she comes down, and she just jacks like a 15-footer. And this is they're in fourth grade. She just jacks a 15-footer with a hand in her face. It's like wide left, like a bad field goal attempt. I'm like, dude, what is this? Next time she comes down, she's got a girl on her, kind of spins, does like a kind of like a running one-hander into the girl's armpit. And I'm like, look at her, and I'm like, Pete, I'm like, what are you? Kind of hands up. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Right? I look over and your uncle is slumped over on the bench in tears, just laughing. And he goes, "That's me, coach. That's me." I'm like, "Why?" He goes, "I want to win. I told her if she doesn't shoot, I'm pulling her out of the game." It's like, dude, don't tell my daughter to take bad shots. So I know he's pretty competitive, so he's definitely not going to let you win in the pool.
Yeah.
So obviously you grew up like in a family of athletes. I know they support you at Ball State. So, obviously got great support around you. As you're reflecting back on your career and kind of how you got here, there are so many young athletes that follow our content that hopefully we're going to be mentoring with, college athletes like you mentoring some of our 10 to 17-year-olds. And they just look at you guys with just wide eyes. Like, this is for many of our listeners, everything they want to be, everything they want to become. So, as we kind of wind down, I try to keep these around a half hour. As we kind of wind down here, what would you say to a 12, 13, 14-year-old girl who's out there just wondering, how do they get from where they are right now to where you're sitting?
That's a good question. Honestly, a big aspect of transitioning into more like advanced like levels of a sport, I think a lot of it is you can't attach your identity to your success. Like, I mean, I remember in middle school, like that is such a huge time of like growth and kind of finding yourself. And that continues into high school. And for me, especially before I really had a relationship with Christ, I think my worth was found in sports. And like any time it was success, I was like, okay, now I'm like, I feel good about myself. And then when it wasn't, then it like, okay, what is like, I'm not worth it, like, and that's such a dangerous place to be at. I think just having that relationship with God kind of flips the switch. Like you find your identity in Him, like, I am a child of God first, and athletics is just an outlet for me to express my faith. It's not who I am, it's just something I do. And I do think that somehow has played into who I am. I mean, there's a lot of discipline and growth that I've had through the sport.
Sure.
But yeah, like not PRing every meet is okay and it's normal. And I think that yeah, not having my identity wrapped up in the sport has helped me do even better, just because it's less about me and it's more about what Twice is doing for me. So for any middle schooler, I would just say, like, remember your worth before the score on the, on the scoreboard. Like, remember, you're loved and you are seen, and that's all that matters. But yeah.
I think that's beautiful. I think that's like just so tough for young athletes coming up, where because it is the goal and our families mean well, but we get so caught up in it as well, and we want what's best for our kids. And you're seeing some of the just some of the mental health reports with exactly what you talked about, where our identity is so attached to our sport, and adults struggle with it too. It's so attached to our career and whatever we're accomplishing. And just really remembering that our sport is not who we are, and what matters is whose we are. So that's beautifully said. And just on a personal note, thank you for being such a wonderful example to our community, and someone that our sons and daughters here can look up to with pride. I can tell you our whole town is very, very proud of you. We are excited to watch you, what you do, not just in the pool, but in life. And Addie, just thank you so much for stopping by with us today. I can't wait to share your message with everyone. And just thank you so much for being here. And we'll be praying for you this season in and out of the pool.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.